Well, praise the Lord. It's good that we're all here, and all may be a smaller number than normal, but we're all here, right? Thank you, Lord. I want to start with a word of prayer first, and then I got a word for you guys, for us guys. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in our midst. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. This is a word of the Lord for us today. I'm going to say it again. You shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. I've been reading through 2 Kings, and this scripture popped out at me. So I wanted to tell a little bit of what the story is around this, and then we'll talk about it a little bit, okay? This is a word that was given to King Hezekiah, late in his reign, when the Syrian armies were coming up against him. But what happened with this, the backdrop to this is that Hezekiah became king in the fourth year of I always get these names a little mixed up, so Hoshea, who was the king of Israel, and he was another bad king in the nation of Israel, and he's actually the last king. So in is only a few years from when King Hezekiah became king of Judah, where before the whole nation of Israel, the other 10 tribes, get dispersed, with the king of Assyria dispersing them. And what happened was that I remember preaching a few years ago about King Hezekiah when he first became king. You can read about that in a lot more detail in 2 Chronicles, starting at chapter 29, and you read about how Hezekiah became king and what he did. And to me, it's one of the best pictures of a revival that I have read in the scriptures, of what he did and how he did it. But Israel is about ready to be dispersed because of their sin, and In 2 Corinthians, it talks about this and gives a little picture of what's going on, and it goes through the whole history of since Israel became a nation and what they did to turn against the Lord, and then it finally says in chapter 17, 1 Kings 17:22, it says the children of Israel walked in all the sin of Jeroboam, and as he did, he was the first king, and they did not depart from it until the day God removed Israel out of his sight. See, that's what God did. He dispersed them, and they were no more. What an amazing thing is that the 12 tribes that came up out of Egypt, that was called the children of God, he dispersed. He separated them from his presence, and they were no longer. They resettled in the area of Samaria, and what they did is they took basically half the people out, and they brought another half of the people in. from Assyria. And when they got there, some lions started to attack them and eat some of the people. And they were in distress saying, you know, we don't know. The people were there saying, well, we don't know what God requires in this land. Please send us help. So they sent back a priest of God to train them on what they should do to fear the Lord. And they did that. But they feared the Lord, but they also continued to serve their other gods. So that's why Samaria, even in the age when Jesus was there, there was this such a mixture in what they believed, because they, one, they feared the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They feared the Lord. It says that in the scripture. But they also served other gods. And so they, all of Samaria ended up in this mixture. But in the fourth year of his reign, Hezekiah became king. And Hezekiah became king after his father died. And his name was Ahaz. And Ahaz was a wicked king. And he even had all the high places that he set up to worship the Lord. And he even worshiped gods that they sacrificed his children in the fire. I often think about Hezekiah growing up, and there was this ceremony going on, and he goes out there and his brother or sister is being burned up in a fire. And how that must have influenced him. Because when he became king, which you can read about in 2 Chronicles, he immediately changes things and deals with this. But in the sixth year of King Hezekiah, the king of Assyria came up against Samaria, and he besieged it, and it took them 3 years to take down that city. And when they did, then the king of Israel was killed, and they dispersed. So now close to 3 years later, after Hezekiah had turned away from serving the king of Assyria, they came up against Israel. I mean, came up against Judah. And the king of Syria took all the other cities in Judah. So the only city left, the only fortified city left is Jerusalem. And they come up with this mighty army. And there is Hezekiah, isolated in Jerusalem, with all the people that escaped coming into Jerusalem. And there he is, concerned. But before they got there, Hezekiah wrote a letter to the king of Assyria and said, "Don't come up against me. And if you don't, he apologized to him for turning away from him. And he took all the gold and the silver out of the temple, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. But the army came anyway. It didn't work. And that's just the way it is sometimes with us, with the enemy. We go and we apologize for our behavior, for doing right. And we give them everything that they say they want, but they come anyway. We see that in our politics all the time. So it does not work to try to make reason with the enemy. It didn't help him at all. He should have just turned to the Lord. But then they came up with a mighty army, and a spokesman comes out to the city, and he's standing there, and he's speaking in Hebrew, and Hezekiah did not go out. He sent out representatives, and they said to the spokesman from Assyria, Don't speak to them in Hebrew. Speak to them in Aramaic so the people on the wall can't hear you. Because everything he was speaking was to degrade the people, to basically threaten them and to say to them, you know, your gods aren't any good and Hezekiah can't save you. So it was a tactic that they were using against him, to against the people, so they would become fearful and turn away. He was saying, I'll bring up 2,000 chariots and many horses, and you can take these horses and go to a better land and live. You don't have to die. But they brought the word back to Hezekiah, and the ones that brought it back tore their clothes and they were weeping, and they bring the news to Hezekiah what the spokesman was saying, and Hezekiah tore his clothes and he went before the Lord, and they also spent a word out to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was in this time frame, and Isaiah comes back and gives them a word. That and the word basically is, I'm going to speak a word into the king of Assyria, and he'll turn away. And that's exactly what happened, is that he got a word that somebody else was attacking his kingdom, so he was going to leave, but his army would stay there. He was going to leave because of this word. But before he left, he wrote a letter to King Hezekiah, and he wrote a letter threatening him again, saying, your gods cannot save you. I have taken down all the other gods of all the other nations, and don't believe that I'm going to come in and destroy you. So this letter comes to King Hezekiah, and he brings it in before the Lord. And he lays this letter out before the Lord, and he begins to pray to the Lord and said, look what this king is saying about you. And Isaiah comes back again, and he gives him a prophetic word. And that's the word I want to look at a little bit. And that night, God went out and he slayed 185,000 men from the enemy's forces. And then they packed up and left. See, many other times God did this, but he did it with fanfare at times. Right, you remember the story about with a king. I'm blanking on his name. Hosphiah? No. Anyway, he with that one, when they prayed, they sent the worshipers out first, and all the people. Josaphat went out, and as he went out, the people went out, and God slayed the people all in front of them. But here, God did it without them even knowing that God was going to do it. He just went out and he did it because of the distress that these guys were in. So here's the word that was given. It's long. I won't read it all. It starts in 2 Kings 19, starting at verse 21. And this word, he's speaking to Hezekiah and all of Jerusalem, but he's speaking it against the king of Assyria. And he goes through telling what he's going to do to him. And what was spoken here actually happens. The king goes back, and less than a year later, he's in his temple worshiping his God, and his sons come in and kill him. And he's no more. Just like the Lord said would happen to him, that he would go back his own back to his own place, and he would be no more. But then in 29 it says, this shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself. And in the second year, that springs up the same. And in the third year, you shall sow and reap. And when I read this, I realized this is exactly what's been happening to us with this whole situation with COVID. We're in close to the third year. And in the first year, all we did was we ate what was available. It was there. God provided. And in the second year, the same thing. God provided again out of something. We didn't sow. We just reaped of what was there. See, the army went through the whole land and destroyed it. And what God is saying is that you can't get out and reap. You can't get out and sow yet, but you can go out and get what you can find. But in the third year, you shall sow and reap. See, now things are back to normal. Now things are the way they should be. And it says that planted vineyards and eat of the fruit of them, and the remain shall escape from the remnant who escaped from the house of Judah. And then it says, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. When Hezekiah took over to become king in chapter 18, verse 40, it says that he removed the high places. He removed the high places. See, there are things that hinder us from the roots going down. And high places in our life, the things that we think about, need to be removed. The things that we doubt that God can do need to be removed. See, it's our thoughts that are our high places in our life. The things that distress us, that we worry about, that we're concerned about. And all of those things are high places, and they need to be removed if the roots are to go down. But then it says, and he broke the sacred pillars. See, there's another point that some things we need to remove, other things we need to break out of our lives. And these are the things that are sacred to us. These are the things that we depend on, the things that we put our trust in. And they're the sacred pillars, the things that we think are so important in our life. They need to be broken and taken out of our lives. And then it says another thing. It says that he cut down the wooden idols. See, wooden idols are things that are not that precious to us, but they're really important, things that we put our trust in. And there's a lot of those things around us that need to be cut down. I can name some of those things. I think I will. One is health care, right? Our attitude about our health care that is so important to us. It becomes like an idol to us. But it's a wooden thing. It's not something that we worship. But if it's not there, we're distressed. And we put our trust in it, in our doctors. And it could be other things like our attitude towards sports could be a wooden idol, right? And it's something that we could kind of live without, but it takes our time. It takes us away from what's going on. It could be entertainment, and all that we do, they become like a wooden idol to us, and they need to be cut down. And then the last thing he did is he broke into pieces a bronze serpent that Moses had made. You know the serpent. It's the one that God made. God had Moses made when the snakes were coming into the camp. And if they look, it says Jesus even quoted from this serpent. He says, the serpent that was lifted up in the, he was going to be like that serpent lifted up in the wilderness. And if they looked to them and believed, then they would be healed. But what happened? They took this bronze serpent and they made it into a religious practice. They were burning incense to it and they were trusting in it. So what this is talking about are our religious practices that we become dependent on. Maybe our Sunday morning services, how we depend on those things. But it's maybe the readings of how it's done, the wearing of silly hats and certain gowns that the clergy will wear. You know, all of these things can become like this serpent that we would worship. And it says, break these things into pieces. I recently have been working with a young man, not in this fellowship, and then I was speaking with another man recently as well, and both of them were talking with me about things that were in their life that they needed to work through with either deliverance and also help that was hindering them from being grounded in the Lord. And some of those issues had to do with feeling inferior. Bruce was somewhat talking about that today in the word that he had for us. Is that if we don't really believe that God is for us, that God is good, and even though we know the scriptures and can quote the scriptures, if we really don't believe them in our heart, then it can be a hindrance to the roots going down deep. And this other brother had some issues with a similar thing, with feeling inferior and things like that. But it had to wrap up that he didn't think God was truly his father, because he had problems with his earthly father. He translated that to his heavenly father, and he wasn't really sure that his heavenly father liked him, and that he had to perform a certain way for his father to care for him. And these things can become like an idol, can become things that hinder us from our roots going down deep. There's the conference coming up that is going to deal with roots, because it deals with foundation. It deals with Christ being our only foundation and how we need to be upon that foundation. And if you're having problems with your roots going deep, then you need to be at this conference, because God is going to pour out his Spirit in this conference and bring fruit. The second part of this, it says, bear fruit upwards. See, fruit grows. It's not worked for. It's not a work. Fruit grows. You don't have to do anything but have good roots and have good health to the plant, and the plant will naturally grow fruit. But there's another word in here. It says bear fruit upward. To harvest fruit, it takes work. We were recently at the memorial service for Bertha, and one of the things that was talked about a lot was her hospitality. You know, it takes work to bear that fruit. If you're going to be hospitable, you got to get a place to be hospitable in, and two, you have to set your time aside to be hospitable, and three, you have to spend some money to be hospitable. But the fruit of hospitality is just grows. But you have to bear it up. You have to present it. And hospitality is a good example of how that works. You may have the fruit or a gift of music, but you have to bear it up. You have to practice your instrument or work on memorizing the songs. You have to get your heart in the right place for worship to bring people into it. See, you have to bear it up, even though it's a gift that God has given you. So this is the word of the Lord for us today. That the time of just picking the fruit off the ground, so to speak, or just enjoying the fruit is gone. It's time to go out and begin to plow the ground, prepare the ground for sowing and reaping. Are you ready? I don't know what God will have us do in this area, but it's a time to begin to sow and to reap. Not just reap, but to sow and to reap, and to bear our fruit up. So that's my word for you today. I'm going to leave you with that and say, let's do it. It's time. The time is now. As a church, as individuals, He's bringing to us a blessing of this conference to serve the fellow churches around us. But there's going to be more bearing up of fruit. See, the conference is a fruit. It's a fruit of where we've been, what God has done in our life, placing us on a firm foundation, showing us how to worship and pray. Our Friday night meetings and our Sunday meetings have been a place of the roots going down. And God is beginning to change our hearts. And those things that have kept us back from the roots being sent down have been melting away. And our attitudes towards everything from how authority works in the church to how God is our Father and our blessing, and all the things that He's done for us has become clear and prominent in our thinking. The high places have been being torn down, and we are standing in a place of awe. After the army left, Hezekiah you can read about this more in 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah was honored with all the nations around, realizing that God had saved him from this king that was killing everyone and capturing everyone. And yet Israel I mean, yet Judah was saved. So all the other nations were marveling and praising God and Hezekiah. But it tells us in 2 Chronicles that Hezekiah became proud with all the praise. And he became sick. God afflicted him and the nation with some sickness. And he was going to die. Isaiah came to him and said, get your life in order. You're going to pass. And you know the story is, when he left, Hezekiah began to, he was broken. And he wept. He turned to his face towards the wall and he wept. And he repented. So Hezekiah turns around because the Lord spoke to him. And he says, God says you're going to have 15 more years. And he did. And then he died. And when he died, his son, Manasseh, became king. You know how old he was? He was 12. What does that tell you? Hezekiah could not get his family in order because he didn't have a son to become king. So God gave him that time and he bore a son. But do you know who this son is? This son was one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. And yet God had mercy upon Hezekiah and gave him a son. When the Babylon came and took the people and destroyed the nation, it says it because of the blood that Manasseh spread in Judah. He was a bad guy. He was taken away in captivity, Manasseh was, with a hook in his nose. But do you know what Manasseh did after all these years of wickedness? He repented. And God restored him back to his throne. Isn't that amazing? The mercy of God is something we cannot understand. He did not have to do that, return Manasseh back. It had no biblical consequences or purpose in God's plan, but it just shows the mercy of God. This is the God that we serve, a God of mercy, a God who speaks to us and says, we have hope. A God who speaks to us and says, we shall reap, we shall sow, and we shall reap again. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy upon us. A little fellowship, and yet you have blessed us with your presence. You have blessed us with hope. You have blessed us with good things. You have blessed us with your prophetic words. You have spoken to us and encouraged us and been with us as we worship together. We thank you, Lord, for rejoicing with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do all things. So we pray right now and we look forward to what you will do in the future, O God. So come. Come and restore all the years that the locusts have stolen. Come, Lord, and give back what has been taken away. And yet, you have not taken away your Holy Spirit. And with this, we say, if you don't restore any of those things, it's okay. But Lord, we know that you have promised that you would. Thank you, Jesus. We lay out, like Hezekiah, the letters from our governments that want to do evil things and say, Lord, come, pour out your Spirit and change these things. Lord, we pray for our state, New York State, Lord, that in a sense are putting our children to the fire and executing them in the wombs of their mothers. And we say, Lord, we don't want to see this any longer. We want to see righteousness return to our states and to our governments, O God. O Lord, let it come. Let it come, Lord. You have promised that you would show us and give us what we need to sow and to reap. So, Lord, we ask that you would begin to reap souls from our city, from our state, from our families, O God. This is our request, O God, that you would save all those souls that have turned away, all those souls that do not know you. Let the reaping begin, we ask, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Amen.